One day they led him up Calvary's mountain. One day they nailed him to die on a tree. Suffering, anguish, despised and rejected.
Did you catch what they said there? Suffering, anguish. Suffering, anguish. And yes, the Lord Jesus did suffer in the garden while praying about the upcoming trial, beating, crucifixion. The forsakenness that he would experience as his father turned away from him, forsook him because of us, because of our sins, having determined that Jesus would be made sin for all of us, but knowing that he was not going to leave Jesus as sin for us, he was not going to leave Jesus dead. The Lord Jesus, having sacrificed his own life, having become the one who died because of sin that he never committed. God's righteous judgment is that those who sin die. Not just physically, but spiritually. Spiritual death is eternal separation from God. I know, as I've said before, that a lot of you think that there's nothing to that. But when you get an opportunity to stand before the Lord Jesus, and he's sitting on his throne as your judge, dressed the way he's going to be dressing, he's going to be dressed, looking the way he's going to be looking physically, his physical features, his facial features, his hands, the way he's going to sound, his voice. I really think that there are going to be people who are going to be remembering throughout all eternity what the Lord Jesus would have looked like when he was judging them. And I'm not talking about the folks who will be forever in his presence. I'm talking about those who will be in his presence on judgment day, but in his presence never again, completely separated from him forever. I believe that they will remember off and on throughout all eternity what he will have looked like, what he will have sounded like. They will remember the awesome power that just will be emanating from him, from within him out, all around him. Power and glory and majesty. And some of those people who will be remembering all of that will also be thinking within themselves, what if I had listened and let him change me and had let him save me, so that instead of being in total terror during my judgment, I know I would have had some moments of embarrassment and shame as he would have exposed my entire life before everyone, but he will have shown the good and not just the bad. And he would have made it clear that I was indeed saved. I was indeed born again. That I had indeed experienced a spiritual rebirth, and I had indeed been following him faithfully, even though not perfectly. And then I would have been able to live forever in his presence with nothing but joy and peace. And I decided against that. There will be such deep regret. And especially, the Lord Jesus talks about that special place for the hypocrites, the ones who will have spent years pretending to be faithful followers of God, pretending that they loved all the saints. And he will judge them and expose all the times that they did something evil to try to harm other people, and especially true saints who they knew to be true saints, while they were doing them the harm that they were doing them. The Lord Jesus, looking at them on Judgment Day, as they bring up the times that they will have cast out demons and prayed for people and the people recovered from sicknesses and even from diseases, they'll talk about their good works that they did, claiming that they will have done it in Jesus' name. Ladies and gentlemen, I've shared this with you before. The only way to do anything in Jesus' name is to do it as one of his true representatives. And the only way to be one of his true representatives is to be genuinely living a lifestyle that is pleasing to God. Hypocrites are not pleasing to God. And he knows those who are his, which means he also knows those who are the hypocrites. Hypocrites. Just try to imagine how miserable you will be as you think about the fact that you will have spent 8 years, some of you 15 years, some of you 35 years around true saints, hearing the true news about the gospel. That part which gets us excited because God promises healing at some point. He promises peace and joy. But he also lets us know that persistent rebellion and disobedience will land us in the lake of fire. And you'll think about all the years you spent rebelling, refusing to get real. Right there in the midst, going to church week after week, month after month, around some hypocrites like you, around some genuine people, knowing what God required and yet refusing to comply. Life, eternity is going to be so miserable for you. I'm telling you, don't do that to yourselves. Stop doing that to yourselves. Allow the Spirit of God to pull you off that course of destruction, that path of eternal destruction. Bring you to the place where you need to be. Truly in Christ Jesus. Truly born again. Again, remember I shared with you earlier, we're all born with sinful natures because that's the kind of nature that is passed down through all of humanity, starting with Adam and Eve. Once they corrupted what had once been a righteous, holy, pure nature, they corrupted it when they disobeyed God. And they changed their righteous nature into a sinful nature. And the only nature they could pass into their children is the nature that they had. And so all the descendants after that are passing on sinful natures. Spirits born sinful. Our spirits, our inner beings born sinful. Then we make the decision to submit our lives to the Lord Jesus Christ, so we connect with him and with the Father. And our spirits are reborn, and righteousness is infused into us through the coming in, the entering of the Holy Spirit, who is the righteousness, who is truly righteous. Our spirits become holy. We still have that sinful nature, that sinful disposition. And that's why it's impossible for us to become perfect in this lifetime. But we keep striving for it, and the Lord sees us striving for perfection, and he's pleased with the striving. And he brings us to the point where eventually it's time for us to leave this earth. Time for us to join him. Ladies and gentlemen, stop pretending, stop fooling yourselves and each other, deceiving yourselves and each other into thinking that you're smarter than God, that you can out outwit him, that you can outsmart him, that you can deceive him. That has never happened. It will never happen. Come on, get real. Get real. Make the connection. All right, Matthew chapter 10, verse 11. It reads, whatever town or village you enter. Remember, we were talking about the Lord Jesus having sent his disciples out to share the gospel with others and to heal the sick and to raise the dead, to cleanse those who have leprosy, to drive out demons. And remember what I shared with you before. All of these instructions that he is giving, all of these insights and foresights that he will be sharing, all are being shared with his disciples, with his genuine, true, sincere followers. Keep that in mind as we continue to go through this and I share with you more about what the Lord Jesus said to his disciples as he sent them out.